Yes, it's a wonderful life indeed. Now I'm joined in studio by Noel Kelly, who is manager of the Northside Partnerships Preparing for Life programme. Good morning, Noel.
Morning, John. How are you?
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We're going to talk about the second phase of this programme being introduced. But before we do that, will you just explain to the listeners what Preparing for Life is all about?
Okay, John. Well, I suppose the Preparing for Life journey started about 10 years ago, and it came initially from concern about outcomes for children. And traditionally, we've always waited until we spotted a problem and then we intervene and try and fix it. So I suppose what we've been trying to do is to change that picture into intervening early to prevent problems in the first place, because obviously that's a much more sustainable and better option for children. So we started this programme in 2008, and we started working with 200 families, researching the impact of providing supports to families from pregnancy until their children start at school, specifically in the areas of child development and parenting. So the idea was to test this out to see if we provided home support to parents in those two areas and enabled parents to become the architects of their child's development, to see what difference that would make. So we've been following these families for the last 6 years. Some of the children have started school, so we finished work with them, and the last child starts school September 2015. So until we followed the last child into school, we won't have the final results of the research. But the results so far are very promising. We're seeing lots of developmental outcomes for children across health, child development, cognitive development, language development, social skills. So we're seeing lots of positives, and also we're seeing lots of positives for parents in relation to reducing parental stress, having a better home environment for their children, parents enjoying their children more. So this is really about us supporting the parents to support their child.
Okay, and you mentioned there are 200 families. How are these families chosen? Are they referred, or
These families chose to join, so it's a voluntary programme. The families joined during pregnancy, so some of the families walked in themselves, some were encouraged to join by maybe public health nurses, by creches, and then some of the families we connected through the Rotunda Maternity Hospital. So when they were in for appointments in the Rotunda Maternity Hospital, we would have spoken to the families and encouraged them to join the programme. So they're all volunteer parents who chose to join the programme and do it on their own initiative.
So this is from pregnancy?
From pregnancy, as early as possible in pregnancy.
Just the time the child is going to start school.
Exactly.
And it's education for, not just for children, so obviously it's for education for parents, children. And how do teachers find a difference when the children come off this?
Yeah, well, I suppose the big test is, John, when we get the research findings, we'll have answers to all those questions. So the researchers, because of the nature of the study, they're not releasing the findings to us until a full group of children have hit a milestone. So the last milestone that all the children hit was 24 months. So we have the results when all the children were 24 months. This year, we'll be getting the results when all the children are 36 months. So we won't be hearing from the teachers until all the children have started in school. But anecdotally, parents are more confident. Parents are, you know, more open to the idea of going into the school and chatting to the teachers and finding out what they can do. So we're hoping that the teachers will notice a difference. Number one, that the children will arrive in school better ready for school with a better skill set. But secondly, we're hoping that the parents will be more confident in their own ability and also see that they have a key role in engaging with the school. So they're the two things we would expect to hear back from the teachers.
Okay, I'm just reading here. In 2008, teachers judged just 49% of children to be school ready.
Yep.
And in 2014, that has jumped to 63%. Mm-hmm. And that's down to this Preparing for Life programme.
Well, we can't claim that it's exclusively down to us. So, I mean, we've had a part to play. I suppose one of the other things we've been doing is working with the earlier settings. So we've 11 creches, childcare centres across the area. So we've been supporting those in relation to a programme called SHIELTA, which is a national quality framework. So some of the work that we've done in those settings, I'm sure, has made a difference in relation to what's happening in the earlier settings. So I suppose we can't claim exclusive credit, but certainly we feel we have played a part in it, and that certainly in conjunction with early years partners that we've made a difference there.
Yeah, and I mentioned to you there off air, last week I interviewed Dublin City Council about the Chatter Matters scheme. So, and the importance of children learning when they're very young, and they're like sponges when they're very, very young. Yep. They soak up learning.
Well, John, the brain development is at its most rapid in the early years. I mean, by age three, children's brains have developed to about 70% of their capacity. So if you think of it, if we miss that opportunity, that's a 70% chance gone. I mean, the area that we find that children are scoring weakest in is communication and language skills, and that's consistently year on year. So that's the area that we've put a lot of focus on. So what you mentioned, the Chatter Matters, is very much focused on the idea of getting big people, talking to small people and reading to them and chatting and telling stories. So we cannot underestimate the importance of communication with children. And we are in a very technological age where children are interacting with gadgets. But the problem with interacting with gadgets is no conversation. So there's information coming in, but there's nothing coming back out. How do we learn how to speak? We learn how to speak by practicing. So the more situations we create where children have to converse and engage in conversation, that's how they develop their language skills.
Yeah, I've seen that in my own grandchildren now. Everybody has tablets now and they're playing computer games and the Wii and all this. Yeah. And as you say, there's no conversation happening. But if you limit your child to, like, we don't want to say technology is wrong. So you have to limit your child to a certain amount of time.
Yeah. Technology is fine and it has place to play. And obviously we cannot not move with the world. But the reality is that we have to have conversation and we have to have interaction. So it's okay for parents to turn off the TV and turn off the tablet and turn off the phones and sit down and read a story, or maybe bring the child to the shops with you and have a chat on the way or have a chat in the car. So it's about creating opportunities for interaction. We don't have to do it all the time. Certainly for parents, it's great sometimes that the kids will have their tablet or their Wii or whatever. But parents can't just accept that that's going to be enough. You have to interact with the children, and particularly when the children are really small, that's the key time to start.
Okay. Now tell us about the second phase of this now, which is, there was a launch last week.
That's right. We had the Minister for Children, Charles Flanagan, out with us last week. So we're basically now expanding what we're offering. So we're now expanding to a service from pregnancy to age six. And the offer now is to all of the families living in the area. So the areas we're covering is Darndale, Belcamp, Moatview, all of Bonnybrook, all of Glen, Bunratty and Kilmore West. So it's quite an expanded area.
It's a very big area with
a population of about 15,000 people. So we know that in that area there are about 200 children born every year. So our hope now is that we start engaging with all of those families. There are a couple of new elements to the programme now. We've been working with the Rotunda, so the maternity-led, midwife-led clinics are now going to be happening in the community. They've already been happening in the Coolock Primary Care Centre. They're now going to be starting in Darndale, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So it means that any mother expecting her child can have her maternity services in the local community. We have a public health nurse working with us a few days a week, delivering antenatal classes, delivering baby massage classes. So again, parents are accessing those services in the community rather than having to trek into town. We obviously have our home visiting programme, which is now going to be available to all parents. So any parent in the area expecting a baby can have a visitor come to their house once a month to support them around their child development and parenting. We've got a fairly extensive programme with the early year settings, looking at three different areas. We're looking at developing the quality of our crèches and childcare centres. We have a speech and language therapist joining us in the next couple of weeks who's going to be working with the staff in the early year settings to improve their skills around language development. The third piece we're looking at there is around transition to school. So again, trying to make it easier for children and parents to transfer from preschools to schools. In our schools, we're working on three programmes, a language programme, which is called Right to Read, which is a whole school approach to literacy. We also have a second programme called Play to Learn, which is encouraging and supporting teachers to use play as a teaching methodology in school so that children actually play to learn. Because in schools, traditionally, the play was what happened before school started, and then the toys were put away and the work started. So there's a lot of evidence now that playing is a better way of for children to learn rather than actually formally sitting down with pens and paper. And the third piece we're introducing is another program called The Good Behaviour Game, which teaches children self-regulation skills. So rather than the child depending on somebody else to regulate their behaviour, they learn the skills themselves. And these are all skills for life. So you can see that we're looking at language across all of it. We're supporting parents to support the children's communication and language. We're doing the same in the earlier settings. We're doing the same in the schools. So it's about getting health professionals, early years professionals, teachers, parents, all working together for the good of the child.
It sounds like a huge undertaking. And does it involve a huge staff or a huge amount of volunteers?
There's a fair bit of work involved, but I think the key to this is that we're working with existing providers. So we're not providing these services from scratch. So the maternity hospitals are already providing services. So instead of providing them in the hospital, they're now providing them in the community. The earlier settings are already providing services. So it's about helping the staff to do things differently, similarly with the schools. So our staff team is a team of about 12 people. So we've five people dedicated to working directly with families in their own homes. Then we most of the rest of our staff then are coaching. So we've two teachers who are coaching the other teachers in how to use the programmes. We also have two early years workers who are coaching the staff in the early year settings. So this is about delivering the skills to the practitioners who are in the front line so that they can do their job better and they can do it differently in the future.
And you mentioned home visits there. You have people going out and actually visiting homes.
Yes.
And that'll be to teach children and parents.
Well, our focus is on the parent. So yeah. When we go out to the home, our focus is on supporting the parent because we see the parent as being the key person in the child's life. So if we can support the parents, in turn, they then support their children. So it's about upskilling parents and supporting parents and giving parents good information and advice about what they should be doing to help their child's development. And again, it's time appropriate. So we have a programme of work that we go through with the parents. So we're always one step ahead of the child's development. So we're talking to the parent about what you need to be doing next. And it's about giving the parents the confidence in their ability. All parents have a certain number of parenting skills. I don't think any parent has all of the skills, so it's about supporting the parents and helping them where they're doing really well, but also helping them in the areas that they need to improve on.
Yeah, no, parenting is a huge undertaking, and my daughter recently had a baby, and she would have loved to be involved with something like this, but she wasn't in any, doesn't live in any of the areas you mentioned.
Yeah.
Why were these areas chosen? Was there any reason?
Well, the main reason why we chose these areas is based on census data. So, I mean, there's clear evidence from the census that these are the areas that we need to focus on. So in these areas, we've got less people going to college, we've higher dropout from school, we've more lone parents, more parents who are unemployed. So these are the areas where there's a greater level of need. So the reason we're focusing on these areas is we think these are the areas that would benefit most from these supports, and they're also the areas that need the supports most. Also, I suppose, John, we're creating a model here that we're hoping that if we can get this working really well, then it's a model that should be able to be picked up in other areas, because it's about getting health workers, early years workers, teachers, all working together and doing things slightly differently.
Okay, well, it says, according to evidence, it is great. It's very successful so far. It's been going since 2008.
So far, but I mean, we've been working with 200 families. So yeah. I suppose we have to be conscious of that we've been working with a smaller group of families. We're now scaling up to support all families in the area. So there's challenges with that because the numbers will ramp up fairly quickly. You know, we know that all 200 families who are parents who are pregnant every year are not going to join. But if we get a high percentage of those, you know, within 3 to 4 years, we're dealing with 600 to 800 families. So the numbers will increase fairly rapidly. We're dealing with about 300 early years workers. We're dealing with teachers across 7 schools. So we're impacting on quite a lot of people. But it's about having a plan, sticking to it and systematically working your way through it. And I suppose that's what we're very conscious of, is that we're delivering on the model so that we have a plan, and we deliver on that plan. We make sure it's of a high quality, and we make sure that we are checking back in with people as we go along to make sure that what we're doing is actually making a difference.
Well, it sounds fantastic, and anything to do with children and education and their welfare should be backed by everybody.
Well, children are our main asset, and I mean, in some ways, we there's a lot of debate at the moment about what's going on in schools and universities, but the whole early year sector, up to the time children arrive in school, has been pretty much ignored in Ireland all along. We've provided early year services predominantly to help parents back into employment, so we now have to put the focus on children, and we have to make sure that what we provide for children is good for children, and that children get the best possible start in life. And having got the best possible start in life, then the world is their oyster. But it's very sad to see children arriving in school, and this is one of the things that was commented on at our launch last week, that teachers can predict within a few hours of a child arriving in school what their life outcomes are going to be. So that tells you that at that stage, you know, the mould is kind of set, and that if we don't intervene before then, for a lot of children, the chance is gone.
So actually, when a child starts school, a teacher can see
within a very short space of time, the teacher can predict. And it's based on the child's skills at that stage, their language skills, their ability to look after themselves, their ability to interact with other children, that if those skills haven't been developed, then the child is at a disadvantage straight away.
So that, once again, the importance of communication with your children.
The importance of communication, and I suppose from our point of view, it's about the importance of prevention, that, you know, we can't just wait until things go wrong, because the reality is when things start going wrong, it's very costly to fix them. And also, it's very rare. I mean, all of the studies that have been done, even with extra interventions in schools, children that start behind stay behind. and the gap tends to widen. So what we're really trying to do is get the kids coming in the door of the school with the skill sets that they need so that they're able to advance and they're able to take full advantage of what's ahead of them in education.
Okay, and I introduced this as the Preparing for Life, the second phase of Preparing for Life. It's actually the second phase of Pioneering Prevention Programme for Children.
It is, yeah. And I suppose it's very important to mention that the drive for this initially came from a philanthropic organisation called the Atlantic Philanthropies. They basically put the capital up initially. Government have partnered with Atlantic, so they funded phase one. And again, Atlantic, this is one of their last investments in Ireland. They've put the money up for phase two. So it's a 50% Atlantic money, 50% government money.
This is the last time, did you say, that they...
Well, the Atlantic Philanthropies fund has been spent down. So Chuck Feeney, the gentleman who put all of his billions into this fund, he basically had this motto of giving while living. So the man is in his 80s at the moment. So the charity is spending down and they've started to make their final grants now. So it will go out of existence in 2020. So realistically, they've done the work that they're going to do in Ireland. And this is one of their big bets, is that if they can set up these programmes, there are 13 programmes called area-based childhood programmes, which we're one of in the country at the moment. So I suppose we've a job to do to make sure that we do this work really well and that we create the environment where government will continue to support this approach.
So 2020, it's not a long time away, especially as regards children, the way they grow up so fast. So will you have to go looking for more funding in 2020?
Well, at the moment we have funding until 2016. So we have a 3-year window of funding which started in 2013 running to 2016. And I suppose we have a very good relationship with the funders, but yes, there's a piece of work to be done. So, I mean, that's why we're very conscious of having a really good relationship with all our government departments, with our local public representatives, because we need all of those people lined up with us to make sure that this work is supported into the future.
Okay, that sounds good. It's great stuff. Do you want to tell our listeners how people can get involved in this?
Absolutely. So basically, to get involved, the first important thing is you need to be pregnant. so that's the reason for joining. So there are a couple of different ways. You can ring our office, which is 8771509, and talk to Melanie. We also have a website. Again, if you go onto the website, which is fairly straightforward, preparingforlife.ie, you can get all the information about joining there. We also are on Facebook and Twitter. So generally what people would do is ring the office and maybe come in for a chat with Melanie. So if people want to refer somebody in, again, what we would encourage, if you're from an agency, talk to the parent first. Don't refer somebody in unless you've talked to them first and asked their permission. Or if somebody wants to refer themselves, just ring the office or walk into the office. We're based in the village centre in Darrindale, so you can come in at any time and chat to one of the team.
And as you said, you're expecting about 200 children a year to be born, so you're going to try and
As many as possible, of those 200. And I suppose what we're trying to do, John, really there is that if we work with the families and the families pick up the skills, then the skills remain in the community. So the families become the experts going forward. And, you know, after we support a family with one child, our expectation is if they have subsequent children, then the family have the skills. So you know, we should be out of work in this area in 10 or 15 years' time if families engage with us and take on the skills themselves.
Okay, well, listen, Noel, the clock has beaten us. Thank you very, very much for coming.
Thanks, John.
Is there anything else you'd like to want to mention?
No, I think that's been interesting. So certainly we'd be happy to come in again, particularly when we have our research results and share those with you.
I'd love to hear that.
But again, I mean, we can come back and give you an update maybe in a few months and let you know how many families have joined. And again, if at that stage Near FM can help us to get the information out to more families, we'd be delighted
Definitely we will. That's what we're here for. Okay, Noel Kelly, Manager of the Northside Partnerships Preparing for Life programme. Thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, John.